For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December the 27th, 1978. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is a speaker on this tape. Subject is Our Great High Priest.
While they're finishing the offering, why don't we do a chorus of what she's playing? His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. His name is higher than any other. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. Let me do that little chorus again. Sandra knows it. I'm free, free, free.
Though the host of hell prevail, and the demons compass me about, and they tell me that God is against me, that he will not help me out, God in heaven will answer and save me, and the armies of heaven will battle, while the angels of darkness must flee at the light of his majesty. Oh, the Lord is my light. Oh, whom shall I fear? Oh, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For I'm free, free, free. Yes, I'm free, free, free. Oh, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. For Jesus has set me free.
Did you know that God wants every one of us to be free? And you know, one of the blessed things, of course, I'm primarily a pastor, and that's still my job. I travel a lot, but my main business is still pastoring, and I have a church at home that participates in this ministry by prayer, and I think of them like my Navy stationed offshore over the horizon, out of sight. But they began, at least 2 weeks ago, some of them began fasting and praying and bombarding the princes and principalities over this place and began to bind them down. And they've already got them snugged down pretty well. And my church will continue to shower this place with a bombardment from offshore. And so this is one thing I always am conscious of when I come to minister in a place, is that my church is in battle. And they've drawn up in battle formation for the sake of you people who are here. And we see this as an extension of our own church's ministry. Everywhere I go, they go with me in prayer. Many of them go in person, and there's an opportunity. There's one here now, a couple of them here, and there'll be some more coming in. And but I just praise the Lord for having people like that who really do battle with the enemy. And in the places where I've gone, whether it was California, Maine, Florida, wherever, almost invariably I run into a demon sooner or later who begins to complain about that blankety-blank church back there. Why don't they mind their own business? We're being hindered. We're being hamstrung by that bunch of stupid fanatics, you know. And as I told you last night, our people regularly attack the Illuminati in the heavenlies because that's the only place that's going to do any good. You're not going to be able to stop them down here. Their financial resources, their masses of people and all the rest are almost impregnable here. But they are vulnerable in the spiritual, because that's where they're drawing their power lines. If we can cut their supply lines of power, they will be helpless. And like a big tank, it can rumble along and be invincible, but when she runs out of gas, that's it. And we're busy cutting off the supply lines. And I'm urging Christians everywhere, if you want to attack, if you want to do something about what's in progress, learn how to bind and loose spirits. Bind the evil ones, loose the spirits of God, and begin to strangle the enemy. And let's give him a fight. Let's harass the daylights out of him. He's been harassing us. Don't take it lying down. Don't whimper and cry and say, oh, I'm being harassed. Well, harass them back. They won't let you sleep. Say, okay, big boy, you're going to keep me up. I'm going to shoot at you. And just fire at will. You're bound to hit something sooner or later. You can't hurt anything. It could help a great deal. And we need to quit getting uptight about this thing and begin to realize, roll with the punches, and realize we're in a battle royal. Praise the Lord. Well, appreciate you folk coming out and your prayers and you coming with expectation, for God will not disappoint those who come expectantly, expecting a blessing from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, open them, please, to Hebrews chapter 4 and look down to verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. How many of you know what Jesus Christ is doing today? He's at the right hand of the Father doing what? Do you know who he's interceding for? He's interceding for the believers. Did you know that from the time of the cross, I don't find any indication that Jesus is praying for anybody except the believers? You know something else? There's another person of the Godhead that's very active in prayer, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the Holy Spirit praying for? Who is the Holy Spirit's prayer ministry dedicated towards? In Romans, it says he is what? Interceding for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That means the Son of God, who is a tremendous prayer warrior, is tied down and focusing on whom? You and me. Don't ever say nobody prays for me. The greatest prayer warrior who ever has been and ever will be, Jesus Christ is praying for you. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us with groanings that cannot even be uttered. Now that's a strange thing, though. That means who is going to pray for the lost? Jesus is busy praying for us. We keep him pretty busy, don't we? Old David over here, he takes a tumble. He does something he told the Lord he wasn't ever going to do again. The devil comes right up before the Father and says, David, let him. That's it. You've got to get rid of him. Your word says the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Father said, oh, yep. He told you he wasn't going to do that, and he's done it. You've got to do something. You've got to take action. Your word says. Now, Satan hasn't been to hell. He doesn't stay in heaven, but he goes in there once in a while. And he's on their tattle. He's the biggest tattletale ever was. The minute you slip, he and his forces arrange for you to slip, and he makes an appearance right before the throne and accuses you before the Lord. The Bible says so. And you think he's your friend? And about that time, he's accusing you to the Father. Jesus says, what was that, Father? He said, well, Son said, he said, David Lanham messed up down there. And he's demanding that we do something because of what the word says. He said, oh, yeah, I know David. He's one of mine, Father. I'll cover that. We'll take care of David. I'll child train him. I'll bring him back into line. But he's covered by my blood. The devil. And you know, you'd think he'd learn after all these thousands of times he showed up. Trying to find one person that God will charge, God selects. And our Savior's right on the job. And he covers us as soon as the devil accuses us. Now, don't you ever think that God's not interested in what's happening to you and me down here. He's deeply, intimately interested in what's going on here. And Jesus cares about you, and he cares about me. There's no telling how much damage has been headed off by the prayer language of God's people. Now, I know, you know, you think, well, I'm going to pray for so-and-so. I don't know how to pray, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for Aunt Susie so-and-so over here, and I don't know how to pray about, so I'm going to pray in tongues. You just think you're praying about that hangnail over there. Little Natasha will be under in a Russian concentration camp, weeping before God and saying, oh, God, help me, help me. The Holy Spirit patches you in, and whew, there goes your prayer over there. You think you're praying for Aunt Susie. You're praying for Natasha, and she says, oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. I don't know where that help came from, but oh, praise the Lord. Did you know when we get to heaven, we're going to have some the most marvelous surprises when we find out where those prayers went and what they were for? I'll tell you something else. He said, I'm going to pray for that stinking preacher. Didn't like that message at all. He's out of the will of God. I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit said, that's right. You say, Lord, you punish that preacher. You bring him down. You get him down where he'll see himself. He's so ugly and everything. And the Holy Spirit said, nudge, nudge, nudge. Pray in tongues, child. Oh, all right. Yeah, I'll seal it up. I'll fix it real good. And the Holy Spirit said, Father, correction. This is the way he really wants to pray. And he throws that whole thing out. And he corrects your prayer. And he says, by the way, Father, let's take care of those demons inside of him of criticism and hatred. And you're just praying away, you know, and you think you're beating the preacher to death. And no wonder the devil doesn't want people to pray in there. When you've got the Holy Spirit who gives an automatic correction, and when you're praying about something, it's always good to end up praying in tongues, because if you've made any errors, the Holy Spirit goes back and bleeps out what's wrong. Amen. He always prays right. Did you know that? And the demons know this, and this is why they fight the believers receiving tongues, because they know that a great deal of the time you're praying in tongues, you're going to be doing some prospecting inside. I found this out by accident, because I thought I was praying for somebody else one time. And I started heaving up spirits. And that's how I found out. I was just a praying away, you know, and all of a sudden I got to listening. I thought, I've heard myself pray like that and praying with somebody in deliverance. I thought, oh, wow. I believe the Holy Spirit got that bloodhound after something in me. I thought, well, I'll do what I tell the others to do. I'll pray, and I'll stop praying, and I'll breathe them out. And when I did, I choked to death. They started coming out. Praise the Lord. Use all the tools that you have, friend. Our great high priest is busy covering us. I'll tell you, we've got a cover that won't quit. He's not asleep night and day. You get discouraged sometimes. You think the devil and his forces, they just never sleep. They never get tired. They're just always there, tireless, just moving on and on and on. That's not true. They do get tired. You can wear them out spiritually. You can wear them down with spiritual power. But don't you forget that the Son of God stands at the right hand of God. And when you're dealing with a particularly stubborn demon, you remind him. Say, demon, I want to call you to attention. I am seated in Christ in the heavenlies. That's my position. I'm in Christ in heaven. I make him admit it. I said, isn't that true? No. I said, you lie too, don't you? Yep. They know. I make them concede. I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus in my position. Oh, they don't like to admit that, because then I nail them down. I say, that puts me above Satan. Isn't that true, demon?
Yes.
That puts me above thrones, powers, principalities, dominions, and all the power of the enemy. Isn't that true?
You know.
I see, I don't hear you say it. I like to rub their nose in the Word of God. I tell them they're behind on their Bible study, so I make them repeat it a lot of times. It humiliates them. It breaks their power. And the minute they confess, they'll say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I say, traitor. Satan, did you hear that? Oh, you think I'm not going to give them a hard time? Listen, friend. They've never been any help to me. They've never been any help to you either. I told one time I'd gotten the crank on him, and he was a chief prince, and I made him throw out all the princes under him. I sowed dissension in the ranks. I asked the Lord to show him what was in the mind of each of those princes. And, of course, rebellion was there and taking over his place. And so he got mad at them and threw them out one by a time. When he threw the last one, he looked at me and said, you tricked me, Wimberly. He said, I just threw out my best friend. I said, how about that? I said, I was just trying to help you. Clear treachery out of the camp. He looked at me and said, you have never helped one of us in your life. I said, praise the Lord. Isn't that great? I wouldn't want to be on record as helping those bucks. But our great high priest is at the right hand of the Father. He's on the job, thank God. He never quits. He never gives up. He never gets discouraged. Isn't that good news? Right. Not only that, but all the saints of God are gathered around him, and they're intimately interested in what's going on down here in this titanic struggle. Did you know that we don't see near all the battle? The little bit we're witnessing with our physical eyes, the tiny bit we perceive with our limited spiritual understanding, it's so tiny. This battle is a colossal smashing of two tremendous armies. locked in mortal combat to the very end. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, verse 14, that has passed into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Don't you give up to our profession. We have professed He is our Savior. And I said, hold fast. Don't you let the devil shake you on that. I can tremble on the rock, but the rock never trembles under me. Hold fast, because we have a high priest who has passed into the heavenlies. He's at the very throne of God, the seat of power. The power of the universe is there. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Listen, did you ever go for help to somebody and they just couldn't seem to understand how you were hurting? How you were pressed? They tried the best they could, but when you got through, you thought, oh, but you just don't understand. Nobody understands. Nobody understands. Of course, you don't want to give over to self-pity, but on the other hand, there are deep hurts and deep things that come to people's lives and shattering blows. And it's true that nobody understands, and God purposed and planned it that way so that you couldn't turn to anybody but Him. He permitted these things to come about so that you would be shut up and literally crowded up to Christ. There'd be no way to look but to Him. Now notice, we don't have a high priest who's some angel who never did get shaken by anything that was going on down here in this world. But He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord came into the world and He was attacked and bumped every which way. His humanity was subjected to all kinds of maulings by the enemy. And yet He came out victorious. Somebody said when the devil decided to attack Jesus, it was like a rowboat armed with a pea shooter attacking a battleship. And our Savior came steaming on through in glorious victory. And the devil shot his worst charges at Him, but he was not successful in budging the Savior on one single thing. Thank God, Jesus made it through. And because He made it through, He went all the way to the heavenly, and He pleads our case. Our victorious, resurrected, glorified Savior is standing at the right hand of the Father, guaranteeing every promise God has ever spoken. And we have a more sure word of prophecy. It came out of the mouth of the Son of God Himself. God has filled this word with encouragement to faith and encouragement to believe. And as I said last night, it doesn't matter if a few of us go down in the battle. Just keep your colors flying high. What matters that if the devil chews up a few of us and spits us out, so what? That hadn't got anything to do with the outcome of the war. The seed of the blood of the martyrs has always been the seed of the church. We're coming into a dark era in which some are going to seal their testimony with their blood. Over 8 years ago, when we first plunged into this deliverance thing, the prophecies began to come through our church as the gifts began to move. And over again, the theme came through, if you follow me faithfully to the end, some of you will seal your testimony with your blood. And it seemed so strange 8 years ago for God to be saying things like that. It seemed like something out of way, way back somewhere. But you know, we're going back to the beginning again. We're moving back into the days of Pentecost and beyond. And you better get Fox's Book of Martyrs and start boning up on what you can expect from the enemy. It happened before. It will happen again. But I believe the church is approaching not only her most crucial hour, she's approaching her most glorious hour. God is going to press out the wrinkles. He's going to bleach out the spots that have blotched up this body. Let me ask you, ladies, how do you get a wrinkle out of something that's terribly wrinkled? With a cold iron? A hot one. Yes. Uh-huh. And it doesn't take just ordinary things to get spots out either, does it? It takes special attention. God is about to devote special attention to the spots that have blotched up His body for so many years. Now, I don't know all about what... Now, some people know all about it. I don't. But I don't even know what every toenail on the beast is. Some people can count them and tell you and divide them and multiply them and then come out and tell you exactly what's this. There's a lot of things I don't know. But the few things I do know is helping people, and I'm not going to worry about the beast's toenails. He can get those clipped in God's barbershop if he wants to. But I believe that God's people ought to concentrate on what will move the enemy and defeat him and put people on their feet and get them moving for the Lord. And deliverance is the biggest thing I've ever run across in my whole ministry. It galvanizes people into interest and action such as nothing I have seen in 33 years of pastoring churches. And I said, I'm still basically a pastor. That's really my calling. That's what I love to do. I travel because it's the only way to get the deliverance message rolling. That's why Frank and Ida May are on the road. That's why David and his wife are on the road. And others who are convinced about the necessity for deliverance to move. We've got to get the body of Christ moving. It's got to be done now. Friends, we're approaching a time when you're not going to be able to travel freely, when you're not going to be able to print books, and you're not going to be able to circulate things. You're going to have to do on what you've got. We had a massive program of obstruction and delays on demolishing the host of hell because it has more dynamite than the other two books combined because it hits the Freemasons and the Illuminati both, among other things. And it has a list of over 1,500 names that demons have given us. It has another list in the back that I won't even tell you where I got it, but I printed it, and I'm liable to have a lot of backlash from that because it's supposed to be a top secret list. It's been printed. I'm like that. You know, if I find something I think that will do the devil dirt, I let it fly. The demons finally stopped offering me things because they said, one of them told me, said, Satan said, don't offer Worley anything. He gets up and makes monkeys out of us in the pulpit. Makes the people laugh because we've been so stupid because you can't trip him up. Listen, friends, you don't have to be tripped up by the devil. You don't have to have a price. The demons used to say, every man's got his price, Worley. We're going to buy you off. We're going to stop that stupid book. And it's not coming out. And I'm sure Frank and Ida may have the same trouble with Pigs in the Parlor because it's made waves all over the country. And now Battling the Host of Hell is going into the third printing. The Spanish translation has been delayed unbelievably in Guatemala, but it's being typeset, and as soon as it gets here, the presses will roll, and there'll be Battling the Host of Hell will be in Spanish. It's completely translated, and it's being typeset now, so pray for it. The Spanish-speaking people across the country have come up to me in tears and begged, said, please put it in Spanish. We have nothing in Spanish of this type about deliverance, and our people need it. So pray. There are others who are translating it into Armenian to ship it back to Turkey. There are two different men in India who are translating it into two Indian dialects. And, well, it's kind of exciting just to see what God has done. I couldn't believe what all he's doing. And recently I was on a radio program with 50 stations across the country. And the man that runs the program offered a free book to everybody who wrote in, and it exhausted all the supplies that we had of Battling the Host of Hell and all the supplies the publisher had. That's why it's out of print. The response was unbelievable. He said, good Lord, when? He said, I knew people were in trouble, but I never dreamed. I said, well, you're getting the kind of letters we get all the time. And anybody in deliverance, when they find out that there's a bomb in Gilead, boy, they'll throng you. They're like starving cattle rushing for a water hole. You can hardly slow them down. They're so desperate. Because for the first time, they have hope. We've got to get the message of hope out while we have life and breath. The demons are repeated, say, we're going to kill you. I said, good. Do you think it'll be tonight? The mom said, yes. I said, oh, praise the Lord. I'll go to heaven and tell Jesus you helped me get there. Don't be afraid of them. They can't do everything they say. And even if they could, so what? They can't kill me until Jesus gets ready. They can bump me around a little bit, and they do that pretty regularly, but that's all right. I'm pretty good size. The only thing it does, it makes you shrivel up and get skinny like Glenn. I'm still holding my own so far. No, but seriously, we must not allow them to put fear upon us. They cannot do everything they say. We have a great high priest standing in the heavenly. We have angels, literally flocks of them. And did you know something else? There are multiplied hundreds of thousands of angels in the reserve corps in heaven waiting, saying, why don't they call for me? Why don't they call for me, Father? Why don't they pray the Father in Jesus' name to loose me? I'm itching to get into that fight. Last night there were literally thousands of angels circling over this place. We were in deliverance down here, and I looked down there, and I couldn't believe all the little cartwheels of angels I saw reflected in the person's eyes. They were just double in stacked. It was unbelievable. They were just in layers. Great big wheels within the wheel, way up in the middle of the air, just circling round and round. Hundreds of thousands of angels. The demon was so sullen he wouldn't even count them for me. He was so angry that I don't want to talk about it. Praise the Lord. God has not left us without abundant help. We've got to get over this feeling that we have to have a bunch of people around us, that we depend on flesh and blood, because our warfare is not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. but with powers, principalities. And if God hadn't intended to give us power to overcome them, he would have never put us into conflict with them. Our trouble is we try to do it in the flesh. And then we get banged around. But that's all right. Nothing that happens on the battlefield that God can't fix. We had a man that recently got a broken nose in the battle. And he was just white as a sheet. He was laying on the floor. He was hurt. He was still hanging on. But he got his nose broken. And I said, "Is it bad, Roger?" He said, "Yeah, pretty bad. So I broke it." He used to be a tough cookie before he got saved. It's been broken several times. I heard it crunch. And so I said, "Oh, my." And I just laid hands on him. Rebuked the pain, the swelling, and everything else. He said, "It's all right, Wynn." I said, "Wait a minute. You know, I hadn't hardly got started praying." And you know, that thing never swelled. All the pain left. He never left the battlefield. First aid on the battlefield. That's the kind of God we've got. We can't let a few little nicks here and there. If you're going to be in the front line, you're going to get nicked every once in a while. It's all right. Get a battle scar or two. Praise the Lord. Quit being afraid of the battle. The only trouble we have with our people, you can't hardly hold them out of it. They're just eager for things to get on with it. You know, at the close of every service, we have quiet devotional services at our church, followed by kicking, screaming, hollering, and fighting. That's our order of service. We don't plan it that way. If the demons would be quiet, there wouldn't be any noise. Because we work very quietly. And quietness and confidence should be your strength. That's our big stock and trade. Scares the daylights out of the demons. You quiet and confident, that scares the living daylights out of them. When they yell, drop your voice lower. Why, you don't have to yell at them. I even feel sorry for them. I say, "Are you hurting?" "Don't mock me, Winworthy." I said, "Well, I just felt kind of sorry for you." Not much, but little. Not enough to stop putting the pressure on and you get out of there. Our great high priest is on the job. Thank God for Jesus. He never fails. Jesus never fails. It's not just a slogan. It's a banner line, and we're going to have to need it in the days ahead. Hide the word of God in your heart. You're going to need it. You could have your Bible snatched away. You're going to have it in your heart. Give the Holy Spirit plenty to feed on. Did you know that your mind is like a computer? Computerize this book. Read, 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 read. Just keep reading. Don't worry if you understand or don't understand. Feed it in there, and then the Holy Spirit at the right time will pull it up to the front. Oh, you may not be able to quote it word for word, but he'll get the gist of it up there, and that'll do it. The truth of God is dynamite. Whether it's paraphrased or whether it's word for word, if the truth is there, that's the dynamite. The truth will set you free. But you don't even have to quote it as the King James says it, even though you may believe that's the way Paul wrote it. You heard about the little lady, didn't you, out in a little church? I think she's down here in Arkansas somewhere, her preacher showed up, you know, and he had one of these new translations. And he is reading and preaching along. He was very excited about it. She came up to him afterwards. She shook hands with him. She looked at him kind of, said, "I'll tell you one thing, preacher. I'll take my Bible just like the Apostle Paul wrote it in the King James Version." Now, I believe the old King James Version is hard to beat. But don't be that narrow, friend. Graze on what God is doing. He's opening up many things in these last days. Well, he says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. "I just can't help it. Nobody ever was pressed like I am. I can't help it. God made me this way." No, he didn't. Don't you feel blaming God with it? Well, that's what Adam did. Don't you remember? "This woman thou gavest me. It's your fault." Besides that, everybody was doing it. He was everybody. Everybody was eating fruit, and Adam didn't want to be the only one. Only old wet blanket in the place not eating fruit. And did you know that old excuse is still trotting around here? Everybody's doing it. I don't want you so upset. Everybody does that. No, everybody doesn't. And even if they did, we ought to stand true to what God wants and what God says. Amen? But Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are, and yet without sin, he proved that the power of God was greater than the power of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now what you do and what I do, you know, you think, "Nobody has ever had such pressure. That preacher doesn't understand. My wife doesn't understand.
My husband just doesn't know how hard it is.
The devil said, that's right. Bless your heart.
I am so weak.
Oh, yes, you poor little thing. I'd go right ahead and do it. After all, if they were as weak as you were, they'd have to give in, too. And we listen to that kind of slurp from the devil. He'll reinforce every whining, self-complaining, self-pitying spirit. Do you ever have a pity party? You invite me, myself, and I. And you, you just have the best time whining and complaining. Sometimes, you know, you go to church and you're right in the middle of a pity party. You drag into church. And then you look around and people are saying, oh, praise the Lord. And you think, oh, why don't you shut up? Drop dead. You know, you don't say it out loud because that wouldn't be very religious. But, you know, that's what you think inside. And somebody walks up and says, hi, brother, how are you doing? Fine. You think, why don't you shut up? How am I going to enjoy my misery? And you going around here hollering and laughing. Oh, hypocrite. What's the matter with her? What turned her on? I didn't see anything so great about that. What's she getting all teary about? If you had the troubles I had, you'd have something to cry about, woman. We'd be laughing and praising the Lord. Oh, you're making that up. Sit down and shut up. Hearing testimonies, you know, somebody how the Lord just helped them. And the first thing you know, if you're not careful, you stay around a bunch of crazy fools like that, it'll lift that cloud off of you. Because their spirits will transfer over onto you. The bad thing, though, is if you get around somebody like that, their spirit will drop off on you. First thing you know, you'll start, you know, you'll get to be woozy spiritually, too. We've got to stay up spiritually to help those who are down. And every one of us needs to be lifted every once in a while. You help somebody now while you're up spiritually, because there'll come a day when you're down and you'll need to help somebody else. And they'll help you. If you sow the right kind of seeds, you get it back. Did you know that? You won't always be glowing. Sometimes you'll be sputtering, just about to go out. And you'll need somebody to come along and fan the fire with you and say, oh, come on, let's pray. I love you. And you'll need the strengthening touch of somebody who cares. But listen, we have a high priest who was touched in everything. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Oh, how shattering. You mean my temptation is not something real special? We got a couple of doctors here in the house. And I'm sure they've had this experience. Somebody come to them and say, oh, I'm sure this is some terrible something. And all the disappointment when I say, oh, it's just the ordinary, everyday thing, you know. But boy, if it's something super special, and almost nobody ever has this. Oh, this is a rare thing. Then they say, oh, poor me. I am really special. And that's the way Christians are, you know. I have this special weakness. I can't help it. I try. Law me. And so the Holy Spirit comes along and says, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common. It's common as dirt. Nothing special about it. It's just dirty. Filthy. You just got it dressed up in little tinselly clothes. You let the devil sell you a bill of goods. You're not any weaker than dozens of other people. They just don't go around crying about it all the time. They overcome it. They fight it. They take things that are better in place of the trash that the devil's offering. Your temptation is common. You may not know it, but it is, because God said so. It's common to man. Oh, boy, does that ever take it out of a special category? I had somebody come to me here a while back, or some man, and he said, well, you know, he went in circles for a while. You ever have one of those circlers? They fly in circles. They're trying to keep from, and they have it all fixed up so pretty and lovely. And, you know, I'm just having trouble with my wife and this lovely 25-year-old girl down where I work, you know, she just meets my needs, and I just meet hers, and it's so beautiful. I looked at him, I said, you know what God calls that? He calls it adultery and fornication. He said, oh, no, no, it's nothing like that. I said, what would you call it? Sounds to me like you're bed hopping. You know, he was trying to make it something sweet and lovely. It wasn't anything but filthy and dirty. So he didn't linger long. I shattered his romantic fantasy. I said, you need to get rid of all your lust spirits is what's the matter with you. I said, if I had to live with you, I'd probably be mean as you say your wife is. You're welcome.
Listen, you don't go into sin ignorantly, you go into it deliberately. Especially after you get saved. You can try your best to go into sin ignorantly and you won't do it. God will ring red, he'll ring bells and wave red flags and everything else, and you'll just say, I don't see anything. He'll say, open your eyes, fool. A lot of people say, I didn't know what I was getting into. They're lying. You certainly did. You got to play footsie with the devil to get involved. Now, when you're lost in sin, you may have some blindness. That's true. But listen, you have to want to be blind to get into some of this mess. And then people work for 30 years getting themselves in a mess, and they come up and say, I have a half an hour if it takes it. Just get them all out. Or sometimes they'll come to the church, you know, and here we are. They'll walk up at 11:30 when we're fixing to close down, you know, because everybody's just dead. We've had 30 to 50 deliverances already, and every worker is tired, and people don't have to get up in the morning. They walk up at 11, smiling, and say, well, I'm ready now. And here they've messed their life up for 30, 40 years, and they say, I'm ready to stay all night if it's necessary. I said, I'm not. And that really grabs them, you know. They think, well, you don't care. I said, you have to come back another time. I said, why didn't you come forward? Well, I was kind of bashful at first. I said, too bad. You're going to have to live with them another day, aren't you? Oh, but I'll go crazy. I said, well, blessings on you as you go crazy. I said, I'll go crazy if I stay up all night and wear myself out. I said, I'm tired. I'm going home. The workers are tired. We got other things to do. You should have hated those things so bad that you'd run down and been the first one at the front if you wanted to. Well, I've gotten hard-hearted in my old age here. I've had to be or be in the grave, one of the two. It's unbelievable how some of these people do. Then you have those who come in, and they're going to direct the deliverance. I looked at one lady who'd come. She'd flown clean across the country. And she kept interrupting. The workers came to me and said, Brother Warren said, she won't shut up. I said, what's she got, a spirit of motor mouth? That's what we call it, you know. I said, I guess so. I said, she just won't shut up. So we start out, and she said, oh, no. And she goes off in this. And I said, well, just tell her to shut up. If she won't shut up, tell her goodbye. If she could have helped herself, she wouldn't have had to come to us. All that blabbing hasn't helped, because I'm sure she's blabbed everybody she's seen. And the women are not the only ones with motor mouths. There's some males of that kind, too. Listen, when you come into deliverance, try to follow the counsel and the help of the people who are trying to help you. Give them a chance to work on methods and approaches that have proved successful. Don't automatically assume they don't know anything. Cooperate with the workers if you want deliverance. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what?
Mercy.
Because that's what we need. Did you know something? You weren't a bargain when God found you. I wasn't either. Did you know that you and I are still not any bargain? That if God were adding things up, did you know he got shortchanged on all of us? And if he had been saving on the base of worth of what you were or what you could become, he would have gotten shortchanged completely. Amen. It's only what Jesus can make of us that makes us different from what we already are. And we need mercy. How often do we need it? Daily, sometimes hourly. Let us come how? We don't have to crawl up to his throne, whimpering and crying. People say, oh, I went to the altar and I cried 3 hours. Well, it's too bad it took you that long to get ready to receive God's mercy. He was ready the first of the time. You didn't have to. You said, oh, I wept through. Well, I guess it took that long to get your old self out of the way where God could give you something and be fine. But did you know that you don't really have to do that? Now, you have to be sorry enough to make you cry 3 hours. And it may be necessary for some people to weep. I'm not saying it isn't. But I'm just saying that to receive God's mercy, it's not necessary to go through a lot of contortions and a lot of this and that and the other. You just have to be willing. Now, the old sin nature and the old stubbornness and contrariness and rebellious of the human heart makes a lot of people have to go through a lot of things. For instance, pride, as I mentioned last night, is one of the roots. You know something? Some people are so proud and arrogant that if somebody gets a little happy in the service, you know, and they do something I never did do or I never saw done, they think, don't know why they want to do that. I'd never do that.
you better watch out. If it's because of pride that you wouldn't do that, when the Holy Spirit gets on to you, you'll do worse than what they're doing. And I'm not going to tell you how I found that out. It's none of your business. I went to an old-time Baptist camp meeting one time. And people were doing strange and funny things. Some of them got to shout and run around. I never saw such carrying on in my life. And I'd start out, you know, and the Holy Spirit said, watch it, watch it, watch it. I saw somebody drunk. Two or three people were staggering down the aisle, so drunk they couldn't hardly walk. They'd fallen all over the place. And I thought, now that is just a little much. And the Holy Spirit said, watch out. Have you never read, these men are drunk? I thought, oops. And then somebody let out a war whoop. I thought the Comanches had gone on the warpath. I like to jump straight out of my chair. And then somebody else went off on the other side. I looked at them. They looked so funny and so strange. I thought, that's really odd. So long toward the last meeting, I decided to go down. And I felt a need for prayer. And I didn't know what for. As far as I knew, I was about as righteous as anybody could get. But, you know, the Lord said, go down and get prayer. And so I tried to be obedient to the Lord. So I went down, and there was a funny old preacher there. And he laid hands on me. And my land's a living. Something happened to me. I got drunk and a skunk myself. I couldn't walk. Well, I did, but it was kind of funny the way I was walking. I was walking like a flying windmill. So I've tried to be very careful in evaluating what the Lord's doing with other people. You better, too. I know a preacher that was worse than I was. He was very dignified. And he certainly didn't participate in that type of thing. And love me, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him one time. He ran around that tent about six times. Nobody could catch him. He was like a track star going around there. Then he ran around the lake, hooping and hollering. Then he flipped over and was out for about an hour. Laughing like a loon, but he was out like a light. Praising the Lord and laughing. When he came to, he'd lost a lot, too. He never did say any more about somebody acting funny at a meeting. So I'd advise you, you know, just... you don't have to do it, you don't have to take part in it, but just be careful. Don't get critical. Same thing about deliverance. I've had people walk up and say, well, I'd never do that. It's always such a joy when they come up and they say, you know, I never did think I'd be like that. They were worse than the one they saw. Now, just let the Lord do it how he wants to. If he has to rub your pride out, he'll do that. And about time you think you know all the answers, you'll find out you don't. We had a fellow in our church that had developed an approach to demons, and when they got to struggling around, well, he'd just walk up and say, bang, you in Jesus' name, you'd be still, and they'd just freeze, and they couldn't move, you know. Well, that worked four or five times real good, you know. Well, naturally. So we were busy using deliverances. 15, 20 deliverances going on. There was a little girl over there on the front seat, about 12 years old. Spirit of Mariolatry, and just spouting out obscenities like crazy, and the workers were having a hard time controlling, about to twist off the bench. He walked over and said, I bind you in Jesus' name, you be still. She hauled up, she called him a dirty name, and she hauled up and just slapped the tar out of him. And he looked shocked, you know. These other demons didn't act like that. So he backed up and he said, I bind you in Jesus' name. She hauled up and called him a name and slapped the tar out of him. About three times she slapped him, and he never did bind her. That demon. You run across some that don't respond. I've had them look at me and say, you don't pull that stuff on me, Whirly. I know how you operate. That won't work on me. You can do that to them dummies, but not me. And you know something? They were right. I had to call on the Father for new ammunition, new information. The old plans and methods and operate strategies wouldn't work. But praise the Lord, he never fails. Amen? If our pride needs trimming, he does that. A lot of times it just doesn't go through. How embarrassing. You know the worst thing of all? I got a bunch of young people in my church. The awfulest thing is to be completely stalled. Have a demon manifesting. He will not give you his name. You try every pressure technique you know. You call on the Father, and it's a blank. And the demon sits there leering at you and says, you got to know my name or I won't come out. I'm one of those kind. And you know he's telling the truth. And you think, what are we going to do? Here comes a baby, been saved 3 months.
Pastor Worley.
Yes, son, what is it?
I think it may be so-and-so.
You call it, and the demon screams, said, shut your blanky blank mouth. Who told you that?
And I said, I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to know those things. How come this kid comes up and tells me? He hasn't had time to develop yet.
No, no, no. This is a team effort, and the Holy Spirit begins to move and give his gifts to whom he will. And he wants us to realize we are interdependent on other believers, that everybody has something to contribute. It may be your turn to lead out. It may be somebody else's. It doesn't matter who's leading it. It matters that the victory's won. Doesn't matter who's doing the praying when the demons come out. Everybody gets to rejoice. Did the football players get in a fight because they didn't get to carry the ball across the line? Well, I'm not going to rejoice about that touchdown. I didn't do it. Isn't that silly? But you find believers like that. Well, I want to be the star. There's not any star around here, friend, except Jesus Christ. It's his program. It's his people. And you can rejoice just as much because a baby got touched by the Holy Spirit and had the leadership and got that thing moving when everything was stalled up. Can't you rejoice because God's moving in his people? Can't you rejoice because Jesus is winning? Not because you got to do something, but because God moved. It doesn't matter who sets the person free as long as they do it in Jesus' name. And the person is helped and made better. Amen? Remember the disciples had something? We found people that were casting out spirits. And they were not our bunch. Jesus said, let them alone. If they're getting the job done, let them alone. Let them alone. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to sneak in like whipped puppies. We come boldly because we have a right to be there. It's not a right that you bought or earned. It's something that Jesus earned and bought for you and me with terrible price. We have a right to walk into the throne room of God for one reason, because Jesus Christ made the way. That we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace, unmerited favor. Do you still need grace? We are so ungracious to each other, aren't we? Did you know we're even ungracious to ourselves sometimes? Do you know that sometimes when we go to God about some blooper we've made, some terrible mess we've made, and we confess it to the Lord, we claim 1 John 1:9, and God forgives us, and we won't forgive ourselves? Did you know that can be a handicap to your spiritual growth and walk with the Lord? Since when do you hold something against God's elect that he's already washed out? What gives you the right to pass judgment on yourself when God has already forgiven? We've got to adopt God's viewpoint on these things, friend. Grace to help. Now he goes on to say, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant? Oh, aren't you glad? Jesus can have compassion on the ignorant. You say, I don't know anything. Oh, isn't that good? Because God tells us our high priest can have compassion on the ignorant. What is compassion? I think of compassion as being love, that loves so much it has to do something. It's not a static quality. When Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitudes, he had to do something about their needs. And Jesus, when he sees our ignorance, if we're willing to admit it and to cry before the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. Remember Hezekiah? Lord, this enemy that's come against us is overwhelming. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And God moves like jagged lightning and wipes out the enemy in Jehoshaphat's day. He'll move again in these days if we'll be willing to admit there's some things we don't know. A lot of things. More things we don't know than there are that we do. Demons look at me and they say, well, you're so ignorant. You're just so ignorant. You're a whole bunch of ignorant. I said, all right, I'll accept that. But I said, the little bit we know is causing waves. He said, shut your mouth. You don't have to know everything to start tearing down the fortresses of evil. If you use what you've got, God will give you more. Don't wait till you know everything. Don't wait till you're perfect. Are you waiting till you get perfect? Oh, dear. I've got news for you. God gives on-the-job training. If he waited for somebody perfect, he'd have to wait till Jesus gets back, and that'd be a little late.
I mean, we need something done now. So he takes imperfect men and women who have imperfect understanding, imperfect learning, imperfect wisdom, imperfect faithfulness, imperfect everything. And he comes against demons who are slick and smart and powerful. From ages past, they have been able to be the acme of this and that and the other. And he comes with a crooked stick and he just whacks the daylights out of them. God can hit a pretty good lick with a crooked stick. But don't kid yourself, he's going to work on straightening that stick too. But he won't wait until it's straight to do all the hitting. And keep that in mind too when God begins to use you. Because, you know, the devil comes and says, "My, aren't you great? You really, you know, that demon was scared of you. Did you notice that?" "Yeah, well, of course, you know, that's all right. Of course, those other dummies over there, they don't know anything, but I wouldn't let them know that I'm so much above them." The demon said, "That's right. You just be humble and proud of it." No, listen. Remember that when the gifts of God begin to operate through you, remember that when the knowledge of God and His Word begins to flow freely through you to operate, to tear down the structures of the enemy, to literally destroy his foundation, and to set the captives free, when this begins to happen to you as you yield yourself to the Lord, always turn and give glory to the Lord who's giving this. You're just the pipe, you're not the water. And people will not even be conscious of the pipe if the water tastes good. If it has a funny taste, they'll say, "There's something wrong with that old pipe." If the water tastes good, they'll say, "What a wonderful well of water." They'll never even be conscious of the pipe that brought it. You and I are just the pipe, not the water. God wants to clean us, scrub us, and keep us constantly clean because we tend to build up rust and other kinds of nasty little stuff. Don't get stagnant either. You have wiggle tails. Keep moving. The water of life needs to move through you. You need a fresh blessing day by day, hour by hour. We need to sit in the cool breeze where God is blessing His people. All of us need a time of refreshing with the Lord. And however God deals with you to help you, well, that's great. He doesn't deal with all Christians alike. Did you know that? He works in many ways to bless His people. Well, we need grace. We need help. He can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. Did you know something? My brother was pointing out this morning that when you get out of the way, He has what? He has compassion on those who have gotten out of the way. You say, "Oh, I did walk with God. I was, you know, once upon a time I was in deliverance. Once upon a time I was this." Well, quit once upon a timing and get back in track, because our God has compassion on those who get out of the way. Get back in the way. For He Himself also has compassed a circle with infirmity. Well, look over at verse 5, please, of chapter 5. "And so also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today I have begotten Thee." Did you know that the Son of God, in spite of His royal prerogatives, didn't assume anything? He waited till the Father appointed Him. Don't you assume anything. Let the Father put you in the place where He wants you to be. Let the Savior designate who's who. It's amazing how people get carried away with vainglory and want to do this and want to do that. And as somebody mentioned earlier, "The Lord told me to do this. The Lord told..." If the Lord told people to do a lot of things they've done, He's cracked up. The whole secret of the thing is He didn't tell them that. They got their voices crossed. And a lot of times, remember this, when you go to fasting, I mentioned fasting tomorrow. When you go to fasting, remember this. Fasting, one thing fasting does is open you up to the spirit world. Did you know there are two sides to that world? Now, some people, when they go to fasting, they don't know this or they don't realize it. And everything you hear and everything impression that comes to you is not from God. But it is supernatural and it is spiritual. And it can be very religious. If you're religiously oriented, and that's where the devil's going to strike. Remember, when you fast, you are in special danger as well as in a special place of blessing. But every time you move into a place where God can bless, there's special danger from the enemy. So that scares me. Why? Let me tell you something scarier than that. Don't take a bath. You might slip down the bathtub. Lots of people do and break their heads. Now, you're going to stop taking a bath because it could be dangerous? Well, how silly. No, but when you move into fasting, you are moving into an area where you're opening to the spirit world. That's why you need this book. To balance and to check everything that seems to be coming through. God indeed will speak to you, but the devil also speaks through his emissary. So balance it out and be careful when you're fasting to get your voices straight. Remember this, God never pushes, he never drives, he gently leads. God is very reasonable, the devil is unreasonable. These are hallmarks of how God works. The Holy Spirit never nags. He convicts. The devil nag. And if something is nagging at you about some sin, say, well, you're not really forgiven. You didn't really mean that when you confessed it. You're still in sin. You're still under condemnation. And every day, night and day, you hear this nag. That is the enemy. And God did not turn over the job of convicting his children to the enemy. Don't you accept it. Reject it and refuse to accept it. And seek it, hit it as something coming from the spirit world, the other side. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, there's a gentleness and a love and a compassion. It hurts like fury. But there's a love, an overlay of love and understanding and tenderness to draw you to Christ. When you are being nagged by the devil and his counterfeit of conviction, you will find that you become nervous, distraught, and upset, and you don't know which way to go, and you may just decide you want to throw the whole shooting match overboard. Does that sound like the Holy Spirit, that he'd drive you to such a point that you'd want to quit everything? It's surely coming from the enemy. So when you're fasting, watch out for the wrong voices and just cling to that which is true. I don't say that to frighten you, just to be on. We should be cautious. Doesn't it say be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is walking about seeking whom he can gobble up. And some of these, have you heard some of the people talking about what God said to them on a fast? And it'll be just so crossways with the Bible. If you know anything about the Bible, you think, my land, how could you believe God would say that? That's directly contrary to what he says in his word. But they'll get up and say, the Lord told me this while I was on a fast. Man, I got a favorite story about that. One time I was, you know, these radio preachers, they're particular. I'm real picky about some of them because some of them are such thinkers. Well, the first thing that bothers me, they have the gospel hour that lasts 15 minutes. And I don't know, maybe I'm just being picky, but that seems kind of stupid to me, the gospel hour. And then they spend 12 of the 15 minutes asking for money and keep this dear old gospel on the air. And then they quote two scriptures before they run off the air begging for money. Send for prize package 601 and prize package 549 and this kind of stuff. I heard one of them one time, and this was the kingpin. I've heard a lot of trivia on the radio, but this took the case. This man, he had a real pretty pleasant voice. It went something like this. Now, dear friends, he sounded like he's on the verge of tears and hysterics at the same time. He said, I was out of fasting. I went out in the desert just a fasting and a fasting. And he said, God spoke to me. I thought, good land, it must have been sad the way he's carried on. But the gist of the thing was, God had told him to take some branches off the weeping willow. Now, he did. I'm not making this up. I couldn't believe it when it came on the radio. And to lay his hands on and pray for him, and if these people would send in an offering, then this man will send them a piece of this weeping willow limb. The leaves off this weeping willow. And they laid on their pillow, and all kinds of good things are going to come. I thought, well, if you could sell weeping willow leaves two for $5, that'd be pretty good business, you know, to get a bunch of dummies sending the money in. I just sat there and I said, oh, Lord, don't let anybody send anything. He said, I'll have to go off the radio, friends, if you don't hear from some of you this week. I said, Lord, don't let anybody hear. Let him go off. He's probably lying anyway, but I mean, if that's the truth, by all means, let him shut down. I hate religious racketeers, people who traffic on God's good name. Of course, I'm kind of weird. You know, I've been called a crank. But some of you are old enough to remember when it took crank turn things around. Friend, when God does something, he does it well. And I tell you, these raffles, you know, to bail poor old God out and pay poor God's light bill. Pancake supper, spaghetti supper. Oh, what an abomination. I think it's worse than the Corinthians. But, you know, they advertise, please, and then they get all the little junk together, you know, and sell things to bail poor God out, because poor God can't pay his light bill. My land, don't you know he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Ask him to sell a few of those and send you the money. He will. How else do you think that we have the building we have? We keep thinking we're going to take a special building fund off it, but we never got around to it. Graham wants to, he wants to get his finger in down there. But you know, for God to raise close to $300,000 and keep the church running with a small group of people, all of whom, well, now we do have one man, I think, who has a lot of money, but we couldn't pay the light bill if we depended on what he gives. We got kids that have been delivered out of drugs that are, I don't know how they give what they give. And nobody tells them to except the Lord. But they're so glad. They give of their time, their money, and their self in order that Jesus be magnified.
Right.
If you'll just get busy doing what God says, he'll finance the whole shooting match. As one of the ladies said the other day, said, you know, the world doesn't want to pay much attention when you talk about what the Lord's doing. They say, oh, yeah, you know, some more religious stuff. But said, when I tell them that God, in fact, we paid this building off before we moved, and they say, really? Wow, that's something. I'd like to come over and see that place. And without drives, without programs, I'm just telling you, this thing will work financially. It'll work numerically. You can junk most of your programs. You won't need them. We don't have a Sunday school. We don't have anything except church. We just have what the New Testament had. Our Sunday school is right in the auditorium with everybody. Did you know Sunday school is not scriptural? I might as well just be radical. You can cut this off the invitation if you want to, Glenn. Did you know Sunday school is not scriptural? Did you know a lot of preachers would lose a lot of their headaches if they dropped Sunday school? Haven't you ever, some of you probably preachers here, some of you department superintendents, now don't you go back and try to knock your Sunday school in the head. You pray it out, you don't knock it out. But let me give this illustration. Did you ever run out and try and find somebody to teach the juniors on Sunday morning? Because two ladies were out of town, and you didn't know they were going to be out, and now, oh, who's going to teach the juniors? And then the kids sit there and throw spit wads and look out the window and say, oh, good grief, do we have to come to Sunday school again? In the Old and New Testament, the men and the women and the children and the small ones stood for hours and listened to the Word of God. And Mom and Daddy got so charged up by being in the services and seeing wonders and signs that they went home and taught the young ones what they needed, what they didn't learn in church, by being different themselves. And they didn't bust them in either. They brought them in. I'm not so sure the buses are an unmixed blessing. They're splitting families, friends. Mom and Dad are too lazy and trifling. I think the money spent on... I'm really going out on the limb this time. I really wonder. I'm not, now, if God, if somebody says the Lord led us to do this, I don't want to criticize them. That's not my business. They're God's young'un. He can tell them whatever he likes. But I wonder sometimes if the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, one church near us, 2 years ago, their bus program alone, the budget was $375,000 just for the buses. They run a fleet of over 200 buses. They run as far as 60 and 75 miles to pick up people. I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if you couldn't establish little churches and gather up and get Mom and Dad in on this, even if you had 12 or 15 people. And have wonders and signs break out to verify the word. I wonder if in the long run you wouldn't reach the same kids and do better. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just can't find the pattern. Well, I've argued and fussed enough. David, come up here and sing something sweet. Or do whatever you do. All right?
Praise Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 61, the first three verses. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. 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 Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're my rock that is higher. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're Lord over me. Jesus, you're Lord over me. You have given to me such a sweet liberty. Oh, Jesus, your Lord over me. Jesus, your Lord over me. Jesus, your Lord over me. You have given to me such a sweet liberty. Your Lord over me. Jesus, your Lord over me. Jesus, your Lord over me. You have given to me such sweet liberty. Oh, Jesus, your Lord over me. Jesus, your Lord over me. Yes, Jesus, your Lord over me. Hallelujah, you've given to me such a sweet liberty. Oh, Jesus, your Lord over me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We love you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great high priest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll never be the same again, oh Lord. I'll never be the same again, oh Lord. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same. And I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and let's sing this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same again. Praise God. Do you believe that? As it is weak. Praise the Lord. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Praise God, since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Hallelujah. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Since I met you, Lord, I am not the same, and I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I will magnify the Lord and exalt his holy name with a sacrifice of joy. Declare your praise forever, sing. We'll praise the Lord. Clap our hands, play the tambourine. Let's sing and shout and dance about, for Jesus is our King. We'll praise the Lord. Clap our hands, play the tambourine. Let's sing and shout and dance about, for Jesus is our King. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine. Let's sing and shout and dance about, for Jesus is our King. I will magnify the Lord and exalt his holy name with a sacrifice of joy. Declare his praise for as a saint. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine. And let's sing and shout, dance about, for Jesus is our King. We'll praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine. We'll sing and shout, dance about, for Jesus is our King. Let's praise the Lord and clap our hands, play the tambourine.
whistling and shout, dance about, for Jesus is our King.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Great High Priest, we love you. We praise you this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You ever live to make intercession for us. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your present day ministry. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's worship Him. Praise God. Yes, Jesus. We magnify you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Joy bells are ringing in my heart. The love of Jesus is flooding my soul. Joy bells are ringing in my heart. And praise God, I am made whole. Those joy bells are ringing in my heart. The love of Jesus is flooding my soul. Joy bells are ringing in my heart. And praise God, I am made whole. And this joy, my joy, it grows and grows. This joy, my joy, it overflows. This joy, my joy, sets my spirit free. Well, thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. This joy, my joy, it grows and grows. This joy, my joy, it overflows. This joy, my joy, sets my spirit free. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. This joy, my joy, it grows and grows. This joy, my joy, it overflows. This joy, my joy, sets my spirit free. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Hallelujah! Know ye not, ye are the temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah.
Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. Since I made a turn about faith, I've been growing in His grace. Jesus is changing me. He's changing me.
my precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that one day perfect I shall be. Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. Since I made a turn about face, I've been growing in His grace. Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that one day perfect I shall be. Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. Since I made a turn about faith, I've been growing in His grace. Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that one day perfect I shall be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John saw the multitude of the overcomers, and all of them were worshiping the Lord. Some of them were singing, and some of them were shouting, but all of them were worshiping the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.